Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word.
Well, welcome to church, everyone. What a great crowd today. It's Mother's Day, and I do want to just say I've been wished a happy Mother's Day many, many times already today. This group of people in this room, we have a culture of honor here, and I love that. And so thank you for all of the well wishes that I've received, but I just want you to know that we're so glad that we honor the people that God tells us to honor. If you don't know who I am, my name is Melanie Bertolio. I'm one of the associate pastors here on staff at the church. And it's a privilege for me to get to preach to you on Mother's Day. Because as a mom, I've got a different perspective. And my perspective might surprise you just a little bit. Yesterday, I was watching some reels about mothers and Mother's Day. They just popped up. It was the first thing when I pulled open Facebook. The first thing that popped up were these reels, and it was asking mothers all about what their thoughts were about Mother's Day. And all of these moms that were being asked were talking about what a privilege and a blessing it is to be a mom. Moms, do we agree with that? It is a privilege, it is a blessing to be a mom. They were talking about their children and how much they love their children, and it's hard to talk about being a mom without also talking about your children and how much you love them. And so it's a great thing to be a mom, and it's been one of the greatest joys of my life to be a mom. And I've got a million stories. I've got beautiful memories, funny memories, touching memories, and they're just pictures that are forever sealed in my mind just from my time of being a mother. But there was one thing that kind of struck me as I was watching all of these videos, and it was this. Not one of them said, "Let me tell you about my mom." Not one of them said, "Man, I had the greatest mom. Man, let me tell you what I'm going to do for my mom because she was such a good mom." Not one of those videos, not one. And the question was simply, tell us your thoughts about Mother's Day. Wow. And not one of those people said, this is how I'm going to celebrate my mom this year because, man, she was such a good mom. And that really struck me. And Mother's Day and Father's Day, they're not Christian holidays like Easter or Christmas or something like that, but they are based on a Christian command that is first found in Exodus 20. It's one of the Ten Commandments, and it says, honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It's one of the Ten Commandments. This is a big deal. And here's a thought for you to ponder. Excuse me. Here's a thought. Do not murder is one of the Ten Commandments. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not commit adultery. Don't want what other people have. Those are all part of the Ten Commandments. And what do we call it if somebody steals or lies or murders? What do we call that?
Sin.
It's sin. Yeah. It's sin. But somehow in our culture, we don't see not honoring our parents as sin. And yet it's right there. And let me just say this, and I've said this from this pulpit before, but I will continue to say it forever. There is no age limit on honor. It does not say honor your father and mother till you grow up and get out of their house, and then you can talk about what terrible parents they were. Then you can look back and you can kind of look down your nose at all the dumb decisions they made, all the wrong things they said, all the ways they mistreated you. No, it says honor your father and mother. And you can do that whether they were good parents or bad parents, whether they were present or not present at all, you can honor them. And I just want us to go into today's message with a little bit of a different way of thinking, because I don't want to teach a stereotypical Mother's Day message for the purpose of glorifying moms. I am a mom, and it's a joy, and I love every minute of it. And I want moms, I want you to be encouraged today. And I think you can be. But I want to preach a message, a Mother's Day message that glorifies God. Amen. I want to look at what God says about how we ought to treat moms and daddies. But I want God to be glorified through it. And I want to talk about moms and dads and the duties that God has placed on all of us as Christian people to honor them. So today's message is kind of like a Mother's and a Father's Day message all wrapped up into one. But it's not for moms and it's not for dads. It's for children of moms and dads, no matter how old you are. So unless you were never born, this message is for you. So we're all somebody's kid. I mean, whether you have a relationship with them now or not, you're someone's kid. Whether they're living, deceased, whether they're in your life or out of it, whether they're emotionally connected to you or you're estranged, whether they are helpful or unhelpful to you, whether they are loving or unloving toward you, whether you agree with their lifestyle or you don't, we're all somebody's kid, and this is a word for anyone who is someone's kid. See, a lot of Christians today have allowed the culture to shape their views concerning family relationships and specifically parental relationships, because they believe that if something sounds logical and if it fits their own personal agenda, well, then it must be right. And some people even attribute it to being biblical. But in Proverbs 14:12, it says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The Bible mandates the duties of parents in different places throughout the Bible. There's 66 books, and it talks about it a lot. To summarize, parents are basically to do this. They're to love and nurture. They're to train and instruct, discipline and correct without provoking. They're to give an inheritance to their children. They're to model godly living, they're to provide, and they're to encourage. And we could spend all year teaching on biblical parenting if we wanted to. But the interesting thing that many people are sure that they know is how to parent. Before they become a parent, they're sure they know how to do it. And they believe they know how to do it because of their experience from being a child. Because of their observations of other people who've been parents. The problem with that is that real life is hard. And in parenting, 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2. I mean, it's just the way that it is. And here's why. Free will has to be factored in. See, I can do all the things that sound like they should work. I can listen to all the psychobabble there is out there and apply every last bit of it. But the fact is I had 3 children, and they all had agency in their own lives and could make their own decisions from the time they are about this big. There's no formula that always works. But here's what I will tell you. We teach parenting in this church for a reason. We have parenting classes. That's what drew Rick and I into this church, was the teaching on parenting. Because we wanted to do everything we could do to set our children up for success. And there are things that parents can do to position their children for the best possible outcomes. And the main thing we want our kids to do is to follow the Word of God for life. But let's face it, these kids, they've got minds of their own and they have free will. And parents will fail and kids do rebel. But we wanted to learn and we wanted to know how to build a family that, where we could maintain a healthy, loving dynamic. So godly, healthy family dynamics don't happen by accident. They don't. They happen when individuals within a family take personal responsibility for knowing the Word of God and what it instructs them to do in reference to their present role in the family. I want you to think about that. Your present role in the family. That's why when our kids got big enough, the very first thing I did was I taught them something that pastors already shared, Ephesians 6:1. This is a different version, but it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Absolutely. See, we taught our children what their responsibility in the family was. See, when you're little, when they're this big, they got one responsibility. That is to obey their parents. So we taught our kids that verse. They knew it by heart before they knew any other verse out of the Bible. Because I represented God in my kids' lives. Rick represented God. That's how God has set it up. We represent God to our children, and we're supposed to give them a wonderful, beautiful picture of God. But we're not God, right? But the way we teach them to respond to God is to teach them to respond to us properly. So we teach them to obey us. So that when they are older, they will willingly choose to obey God, right? So we taught our kids, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." They knew what their responsibility was. And we talked about that word, and I would ask them to recite that word. We'd get in the car, and we would start reciting scriptures that we knew. That was one of them. And that word got deeply rooted in their hearts. And so they learned to obey God by learning to obey their parents. They were not perfect kids. Some of you have watched them grow up. You know that. But they love God and they have a desire to obey Him. And here's the problem. People who've never taken the time to study what the Word of God says about something seem to believe that they're experts in it. See, there are just things that for every single one of us are going to seem right. But if you've never taken the time to study it in the Word, that is a huge red flag for you. Because the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of things in the Word of God that are different than what you're going to see on a reel on Facebook or Instagram. And for anybody in this room who might be harboring just some resentment or bitterness toward your parents, or maybe you've even cut yourself off from them, let me just say this. When your parents were raising you, they did what they thought seemed right. So unless you've never done that, maybe today would be a good day to start thinking about offering some grace. Lots of things seem like they would work, don't they, in families? Oh, I've tried it all, y'all. Lots of things seem like they would work. But they fail miserably in application when you're trying to grow and maintain a healthy family bond. Here's why. If it's not of God, it doesn't work. No matter how cool it sounds. And there's a lot of pop psychology out there that sounds good. And it might even sound biblical, but you better check it before you start applying it to your life. Because most of the time, those sound bites are just an oversimplification of a very complex real life dynamic that involves several flawed people. Not one flawed person. I mean, if you have had a difficult relationship with your parents, they're not the only flawed ones in that relationship. And we tend to oversimplify really complex, hard things. And it doesn't work. It's just, you know, it's dangerous. Do you guys remember, some of you won't, but some of you will, when WebMD became a thing, you know, and everybody started self-diagnosing these extremely complex physical ailments that they had, and half the country thought they were dying because they looked up their symptoms. And okay, it's no different when it comes to relationships that involve very complex dynamics. It's dangerous to listen to sound bites from unbiblical sources and generalize and stereotype behaviors. They generalize and stereotype reactions to behaviors for the purpose of putting a label on it. And I want to just throw out some words, and I would just encourage you to ask yourself if you've used any of these words. But some of the words and the labels that are being used in pop psychology right now are gaslighting, trauma, boundaries, toxic relationships. You read a lot about that. Triggers, anxiety, depression. Healing is even a word that's being used and manipulated. Manic, on the spectrum, self-care, trauma bonds. Someone's a narcissist, they're bipolar, they're an empath, they're OCD, they're psycho, they're codependent, they're a sociopath. I mean, it just seems like we're trying to come up with new words all the time to explain stuff that's been around since the beginning of time. I want to say this, though. All of those terms I just mentioned, trauma, toxic relationships, narcissistic behaviors, bipolar, depression, you know, all of those things, those can be legitimate issues, but it's a small percentage of the population that actually have those things. And they don't ever get it fixed by following a famous psychologist who's never met them. That's not where they get the help. But here's the danger with all of those terms and all of those things and us thinking we know what they mean and throwing them out there all the time. The danger is this: when we misappropriate those terms, they become weapons coming out of our mouths. And we use them to label other people, and we deem ourselves to be experts. I mean, because after all, we've read all about it on social media, and I've watched lots of reels. But really bad things happen when we try to build our relationships and we try to fix our relationships with people based on those things. Number one, we do a disservice to the people who are really suffering from those things. Number two, those weapons become labels not just against random people, against people that we are supposed to love. But the worst part is this: when we do that, we relieve ourselves of any responsibility.
That's right.
We don't have to work on the relationship because we're not the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you think that through. My mother, my dad. See, our expectation is that they will love us exactly the way we want them to love us. And if they comply with our expectations, well, then we'll love them back.
Right. Yes, so powerful. Wow.
We rarely consider that they might also have expectations. Think this through. We overanalyze people's motives. We overcriticize their words. And overemphasize every mistake they've ever made in the relationship that we have with them.
Yeah. Wow, so
we overanalyze their motives. Yeah. We assign motives to people that we don't know that they have, but we're just sure we do know. I mean, they don't know what we're thinking, but we believe we know what they are thinking. So we overanalyze their motives. We criticize every word. I mean, there's nothing they could say sometimes that we wouldn't criticize, right? And then we cannot, we overemphasize, we can't let go of their mistakes. And we talk about them a lot. We offer no grace. And we never ask ourselves the question, and I loved what Tim Brooks preached on. We never ask ourselves, oh, are they having a bad day? Are they trying to deal with something here that they don't have any idea what they're doing? Am I creating a situation for them that they're completely unprepared for? We don't ask questions like that. We don't offer grace. Maybe they just don't even know what your expectations are. You're holding them accountable for missing it in an area that they didn't even know that there was something to miss. They may not have had a great example as a parent. They're winging it, folks. All of us were winging it at one point in time. And we're very big. This culture is very big on expecting to receive grace. But not being super willing to get it. And here's what I would say is maybe, just maybe, you're not that easy to deal with. Maybe you play a role in this too. So when there are problems with a parent relationship and you're struggling to honor your parents, maybe you ought to take a look in the mirror and see what part you play in what's going on. It's really hard. We don't ever want to talk about that. But the reality of so many problems that people have in that parental-child relationship, and I'm not just talking about little, I'm talking about till we die, is that that's what's going on. I can't, and I got to tell you, what prompted this for me is that my own family, had a situation recently. Now, it wasn't immediate family, but it was a situation where, I mean, deep-seated resentment and bitterness has torn apart a faction of my family, and it's not fixed because nobody's wrong. Nobody's wrong. But I want to ask you something. Do you have someone in your family that you have to walk on eggshells all the time? Is someone always threatening to just cut you out of their lives? Is there someone that's triggered and angry all the time? Are they always talking about self-care? And how about this one? I've just got to protect my peace. I've got to set some boundaries and protect my peace. You are not protecting your peace when you are hypercritical, angry, and in unforgiveness. I'm going to say that again. You are not protecting your peace when you are hypercritical, angry, and in unforgiveness. There's too many Christians that buy into the idea that they are protecting their peace when they do very ungodly things. See, all of the things that insinuate that someone else is the problem in the relationship, and again, it takes the responsibility off of us when we do that. And if you're that person in your family, here's what you need to know. God gave us instructions on how to treat people. And your family, they're included in those people. There's just too many ungodly professionals on social media giving ungodly advice, creating a culture of egomaniacs that think the whole world is revolving around them. And sadly, it's made its way into the church. And we justify cutting people off and ostracizing certain factions of our family. And it's not right. It's the opposite of what the gospel teaches. Yeah. It's the complete opposite of what Christ stood for and the way he lived. And we as the church need to set the example for the world to see love, grace, reconciliation, and restoration in relationships. And when a solid Christian person that is vocal about their faith is out there and they drop the ball in this one area, It may be the thing that causes someone else to go, well, I don't think I need to be a part of that. So we're going to talk today about three easy steps to honor your parents. How to honor your parents in three easy steps. You may say, well, it's not going to be easy. Well, it depends. It depends on if, you know, you have to be drug kicking and screaming.
Right.
Or if you decide to get on board with God's way. That's what it amounts to. So the first thing, and this is simple, guys. This is your basic, easy, love, forgiveness, and serving people. I'll just tell you up front. There they are. There's no magical, she's going to come up with something that's going to, when I do that, it's going to bing, and everything's going to, no. It's all the stuff we've known our whole lives. Love. In Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Guess who your neighbor is? Anyone who isn't you. That means it's your mom, it's your dad, it's your siblings. Because everything I'm talking about can be applied to any member of your family. If you've got an issue with a sibling, if you've got an issue with a grandparent, this will fix them all. I'm not saying it will necessarily restore the relationship to the place that you had, you know, where it looks, you know, there's all sunny and rainbows, but it will make you right in the relationship. And that is restoration for you. So another version says to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves, and it says it this way. It says, because loving God, those two things, loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves, they are pegs that all of the other things that we believe as Christians hang on. And here's what I can tell you, is that when we love God, we are then empowered to love everybody else. And loving God and loving people goes hand in hand with the golden rule out of Luke 6:31. It says, do to others as you would like them to do to you. Well, let me ask you something. Do you want to be cut off from a relationship every time you make a mistake? Do you want the person on the other end of your conversation to be criticizing every word out of your mouth? Do you want them looking for you to mess up? It's a big deal, and it's a huge problem in our culture. The Message version says it like this, out of Luke 6, this is 27 through 38. It says, to you who are ready for the truth, I say this, love your enemies, love them, or let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. Now think about that. When you love someone who is hard to love, you are allowing that person to bring out the best in you and not the worst. It says, when someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more payback. Live generously. It says, here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. If you only give what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives toward us, generously and graciously, Even when we're at our worst, our Father is kind. You be kind. Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back, but not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Y'all, when we're going to love someone, we're not making a list of all of their qualities first and then making a decision as to whether or not they deserve it. We love them. And love is an action word. It is not a feeling that we have in our heart. See, the agape love of God is action first, feelings later. So we have to learn to love people. The second thing we have to do is forgive. And Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Colossians 3:12, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What do you do with clothes in the morning? You put them on. You get up in the morning and you make a decision about what you're going to put on that day. And this is telling us you got to put on tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. I got to tell you, on Friday, Shelby and Juanita, Warren and Rachel and I went yard sailing at the Nixa Citywide Yard Sale. It was a great time. We had so much fun. We're walking along, and I don't remember which, I think Shelby said it first. But I said something, and I saw a little bit of a eye roll, you know. And then I looked over at her, and she goes, I'm making allowances. I smiled at her, and I said, so am I. But that's what we're called to do. We're supposed to make allowance for each other's fault. I'm just telling you right now, if you're in your 20s and 30s, your 40 and 50-something-year-old parents are going to say things that you think are silly. Make allowance, please. I mean, it just is what it is. Verse 14 says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Can I just tell you, it is the peace that comes from Christ, not the peace that comes from cutting yourself off from your family, not the peace that comes from always being right, or the peace that comes from any other source except for Christ. It says, let that peace, the peace that comes from Christ, rule in your heart. You know, you don't have to protect your peace. Peace protects you if you're letting it rule in your heart. So how do you do that? Well, you make allowance for someone else's faults. You forgive them. You love them. You put on love. You clothe yourself in love. Forgiveness and godly, truthful love bind us together and create the environment for peace. See, we're trying to get peace in a way that it will never come when we're trying to follow all of these instructions from ungodly people. The world's telling family members to cut off people to protect peace, and it doesn't work in the long term. I've never, ever talked to someone who cut off their family that they were peaceful. They're standing there telling me they're protecting their peace, and there ain't nothing about them that's peaceful. They're bent up, they're rigid, they're cold, and they are constantly reminding you that they've been keeping a record of someone's wrongs. God's way is better. See, he tells us to honor our parents. Why? Because it's good for us. It's good for us. We, you know, the world is out there saying, you know, when we talk about tithing, people get all hung up about money and they think the church just wants your money. What we do is we teach what the Bible says. The Bible says if you pay your tithe, God will bless you beyond what you could even imagine. What we know is Rick and I have lived out that we can do more with 90% than we were ever able to do with 100%. Why? Because the blessing of God is on it. And when we honor our parents, the blessing of God is on our lives. So when someone's telling you, and let me just say, maybe you're sitting here going, oh, this doesn't apply to me at all. None of this applies to me. I got a great relationship with my parents. You better know how to respond to someone else, because if you're advising someone else that they need to cut someone else out, you need to ask yourself if what you're telling them is biblical. And it's not to say that there aren't some people that we need to avoid in life. There are evil people. There are harmful people. And those people we honor differently than we do people who want to a relationship with us who aren't evil and harmful to us. But I'm not talking about that. But we assign that label sometimes to people who are not evil. There have been a lot of people that have done some things that have hurt me in my life. But I can still look at them and go, they're not evil. I wish they wouldn't have done that. I don't think it was very nice. But they're not evil people. But when we start overemphasizing someone's mistakes and we start over-criticizing every word that comes out of their mouth, before long, we label them as something they're not. But I want to encourage you this. Forgive others and love them and give your own mind the opportunity to let peace rule. You're never more like Christ than when you're forgiving someone who doesn't deserve it. Why? Because he did that for you. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. And the good news is that when we do everything we can to be obedient, God empowers us to do what he requires of us. And this is a requirement. It's one of the Ten Commandments, not one of the Ten Suggestions. So we need to love and we need to forgive. The third thing is this: we need to serve people. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let's not merely say we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions, because our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God." And Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven." Try serving those people that you're so resentful toward. It'll change things for you. Try not being the adult child that just uses your parents for your benefit. Try being a benefit to them. They are human beings, by the way. And when memories come to your mind where they've failed you, stop everything and remember the times that they did something for you. Because it goes back to what Pastor said. If they did nothing more than get you into the world and keep you alive, that's something to be grateful for. That is something to be grateful for. So when you feel your mind going toward that negative, start thinking about things that they did for you and then give back to them. Quit trying to crucify them for things they've probably been beating themselves up for years. Quit comparing them to other parents and punishing them for the ways they fell short. Expectations are very hard things, and people often have very unrealistic expectations of their parents. And then on top of that, they often don't even tell their parents what their expectations are. And you set your parents up for failure when that's true.
That's right.
So I want you to hear the message today. It is a Mother's and Father's Day message. Honor your father and your mother. Love them, forgive them, serve them. Again, some of you may have to love them and forgive them from afar. And that's okay. But there is such a growing epidemic in America that's made its way into the hearts of a lot of Christian people that says it's okay to cut people out of your life because their story of your childhood is different than yours. When we're all sitting around together as a family and we all start telling stories, you know what? It happens in your houses too, I'm sure. That's not how that happened. That's not what happened. It happens all the time. I'm a principal of our Christian school down here, and I get these wonderful godly children coming into my office, and they've had a conflict with one another. And I got this one over here saying, this happened, and then I've got this one over here going, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. This is what happened. And I tell them this, I believe you both. Most of the time. Sometimes I find out, no, it's a big old fat lie. But the truth of the matter is, in most cases, I believe in both. Yeah. Here's why. Because we all have different perspectives. We all see things differently. So when I tell the story of my children's childhood, it is going to sound different than when they tell it. If they tell it, you'd think that nothing ever happened except for spankings. Drew's really bad about that. Oh, all that ever happened was we just got spanked all the time. Interesting, because I've got a lot of different memories from. But I'm telling you right now that a lot of families are ripped apart because the parents' story about the family dynamic as the children were growing up is so vastly different. Don't be that kid that doesn't allow yourself to remember anything except every negative thing that happened. I'm just telling you right now, I am an associate pastor of this church, and I have yelled at my children. I've said unkind, cruel things to my children. Now, I've repented, and I've gone to them, and I've asked for forgiveness. But nobody's perfect, and your parents are not your savior. Yeah. They represent God, but they are not God.
Oh, that's right. So good, Melanie. That's a great word.
I'm going to end with this, and I want to ask the prayer team to go ahead and come forward. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says this, "Then he said to the crowd," this is Jesus, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way." I'm going to say that again. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? But here's what I want you to know. Today is Mother's Day, and it's not a day for mothers to be glorified. It is a day for God to be glorified by the way you have a relationship with your mother and your father. And if you've had a difficult relationship, if you have had a hard time being reconciled to your parents, I mean, I'm just looking, and I'm seeing. I mean, there are people up here on our prayer team right now who've been there. They honor. They've learned to honor. What better person to get in agreement with you that you can do this? You can do what God requires of you.
I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance His kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net. Or you can message us on social media, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and may the Lord bless you.